Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hour numero dos of the Rob Brown Radio Show gets its start right now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Fan Upstate. I am Rob Brown. The great man Lonzo is on the ones and the twos this morning as we rock and roll through the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment that you will find anywhere on the radio today between the hours and six to 10 in the morning. What's up? How's everybody? Y'all good? As we have hit the midweek point, doesn't even feel like a midweek point because we, if you got lucky, had Monday off. It's only Wednesday. Feels like Tuesday, but it is Wednesday, working towards Thursday. And of course, Thursday is NFL week one. Ladies and gentlemen, it is NFL Eve here on the show, here in America, as the Chiefs and the Ravens get set to play a little NFL football tomorrow evening in what I think is one of the highlight games of the year. Of the year is tomorrow. It is not just the fact that it is game one, week one. It is also the fact that this is a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game. And on top of that, whoever wins this game has a full one-game lead over the other in terms of the opportunity to host the AFC Championship game. And as we have talked about back in the opening part of the last hour, if you're Baltimore, you have to do that. You can't go to Arrowhead again. You get smoked in Arrowhead. It's an unfortunate reality. You can't win there. Nobody can win there. By the way, read a ridiculous stat yesterday. Great one. In the last 22 games, and this is a testament to the fact that when you think Kansas City Chiefs football, you think offense, right? Mahomes, you think Kelce, you think about those running backs led by Isaiah Pacheco, you think about the addition of Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown. No Hollywood in this contest tomorrow, by the way, but we'll come back to that as we'll preview that game coming up later on. You think about the offense. Here's a testament to Chris Jones and the Chiefs defense. The last 22 games played at Arrowhead in Kansas City, 18-4 to the under. To the under. With the Kansas City offense on the field, these games are 18-4 to the under. Doesn't matter who played. 22 games, 18 of them hit the under. That's ridiculous. And that is, again, that is testament. Not, and I'm going to go one step further, not just to the defense, which it is, and that's going to be a big part of this game tomorrow. It's also testament, great one, to the fact that Andy Reid is a spectacular manager of the game, because what it means is that Kansas City, when they get a team into a spot where they're starting to have to try to make big plays because they're in a hole, what does Andy do? He slows the game down. He burns up clock. He runs the ball. He makes the game. He extends drives without trying to pop big plays because they feel like we need to run it up. A win by one counts the same as a win by 40. So let's go out there and let's eat up a ton of time. When you have those two things going for you, that's how the over pops in, or excuse me, the under pops in 18 of 22 games. And that scares me a little bit for Baltimore tomorrow. We're going to talk about the game a little bit longer, a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. But it is 7:00. Wait for it. 4 in the morning. You have exactly 56 minutes until you've got to clock in. You got to respond to those passive aggressive emails from the boss man. You got to pretend like you've got any bit of attention that you are capable of dedicating to work when you know, and I know, and we all know that all you're doing is going, 37 hours to kick off, 37 hours to kick off, 37 hours to kick off, 37 hours to kick off. We just got to make it. until tomorrow night at 8 o'clock when we're all sitting in various couches and lawn chairs and blankets on the ground getting set for NFL Week 1, Game 1. Oh, and a pretty good slate of college football lined up for us this weekend as well. But when you get to work and you got to do all those things, you need to know what's going on in the world of sports. And if you need to know what's going on in the world of sports, ladies and gentlemen, you need us and you need this. It's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this Wednesday morning. When you do, this is what you will be talking about. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get the cheat sheet started off with item number one. Let's jump right in with baseball. Let's just get it out of the way, shall we? The Atlanta Braves dropped 3 out of 4 on the road at the Philadelphia Phillies. I told you going into that series, if the Braves did any worse than a split, you can go ahead and write off their ability to chase down the Phillies and take the NL East championship away from them. That's not happening. The Braves, even after last night's win over the Rockies, which we'll talk about here in just a minute, are 7 games back in the NL East of the Philadelphia Phillies. They are not overcoming that when they're sitting on about 22 games left to play on the docket. They're not chasing them down. Now the question mark for the Atlanta Braves is, can you stay up above the New York Mets? The Mets are just a half game back of the Braves. So you gotta win the ones that you gotta win if you are Atlanta. And the next three are gotta win games as you square up with the 51-88 Colorado Rockies. Game one in the books last night, the Bravos a 3-0 win at home in Truist against the Rockies. Chris Sale got credited for his 16th win this season, went seven innings, gave up 6 hits, no runs allowed, and K'd 9, including K number 200 on the year for Chris Sale. The guy has been a revelation for Atlanta since coming over. We talked about, hey, I don't need Chris Sale to be a monster. I just need Chris Sale to be good. Well, Chris Sale has been a monster. And the only reason the Braves are even in the wild card position they're in over the Mets is in large part because of Chris Sale. It is the first time that he reached the 200K mark since 2019. 7 strong innings in that 3-0 win. The Braves right now leaning on Chris Sale. That is 6 straight for him, gone 15 straight starts, allowing no more than 3 earned runs. He is a guy that was near the top of the AL Cy Young Award balloting. Balloting. Yeah, no, I was right. I got this. Balloting for 7 consecutive seasons. He's going to win it this year. He's like minus 5,000 to win the NL Cy Young at this point. Sale allowed 6 hits, Fan 9 to push his season total to 206, his most since the Red Sox 2019 season when he had 219, did suffer a series of injuries after that. But he is back. Sale said he doesn't care about the milestone. His only goal, helping the Braves go deep into the playoffs. Well, they're going to have to get into the playoffs before they can go deep into the playoffs. And this win did help as they have got to stay above the Mets. The Mets also got a dub yesterday, meaning the distance stays at 0.5. The Braves offense, which did look like it woke up a little bit in the series leading up to Philly and in the series against Philly, where it just looks like they got beat by a good team in the Philadelphia Phillies, is back to being okay. They got 7 hits last night, 2 from Michael Harris II, 1 from Marcell Ozuna, 1 from Laureano, 1 from Merrifield, and 2 from Gio Urshela. Remember, he got DFA'd by the Tigers a couple of weeks ago, came over when Austin Riley got banged up. Here's the Braves' MO at this point, all right? Win, survive, get healthy. Win, survive, get healthy. Here is the good news for Atlanta. They've got 2 more against a bad Colorado Rockies team. They're going to have to win those. Charlie Morton goes tonight at 7:20. Reynaldo Lopez goes on Thursday. Then, no days off. Max Fried takes the bump, followed by Spencer Schwellenbach, and then Chris Sale in a three-game set against Toronto on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. No days off before they have a one-game set against the Reds. That's a makeup date. Charlie Morton on the bump. And then September 10th, 11th, they've got the Washington Nationals on the road. Lopez and Fried are scheduled. Then you get into the meat and potatoes down the stretch. On the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th, you got a four-game set at home against the LA Dodgers, the best team in the National League, coming to Atlanta. Then you turn around a three-game set against the Reds. The Reds have been kind of a pain for the Braves as they took the first series away from Atlanta. And you got to go to the Great American Ballpark for that. You're back on the road for a three-game set against Miami on the 20, 21st, and 22nd. Then you've got a three-game set at the house in what will likely be a must sweep of the New York Mets coming to town. And then a three-gamer at home in interleague play against the Royals to finish up the season. The Royals are a very good team as well. Not an easy end of the slate for the Bravos in a 21-ish game set that they will have to play plus 500 baseball to stay out ahead of the New York Mets. Let's get to item number two. Your AP Top 25 poll for week number two has dropped. No surprise, the Georgia Bulldogs remain on top. After their demo job on the Clemson Tigers, they take 57 of 62 first-place votes. The other five first-place votes all went to the Buckeyes of Ohio State, who stay in that number two position after they took a little while to get going against Akron. But once they did, there was no slowing down that train. The Bucknuts check in at number two. In third place, the Longhorns. Don't do that. It's vulgar. The Longhorns at number three. Alabama jumps to number four, and Notre Dame rounds out your top five. The Irish, after going down to the compound and knocking off the Colt, jump two spots up. Ole Miss stays in their role at number six, and look at that. Rob Brown's preseason national championship selection, not a great start. It took the Ducks all four quarters to get by the Vandals of Idaho. They drop four positions down to number seven. The biggest movers in the top 10 going the wrong way. Penn State remains solid at number eight. Mizzou jumps up a couple of spots to number nine. They leapfrog Michigan, who falls down to round out your top 10. 11 through 15, the Utah Utes up a spot. The Miami Hurricanes jump seven spots up to number 12 after they went up to the Swamp and knocked off the Gators in a big one. They're now inside the top 12. The USC Trojans, 10 spots, the biggest movers in the week one to week two poll. The Trojans, after they get a wild win in a classic against LSU, up 10 spots to number 13. Tennessee is 14. They move up a spot. So does Oklahoma to 15, Oklahoma State to 16, and Kansas State to 17. After that loss to USC, the LSU Tigers are the highest-ranked 0-1 team in college football at number 18, down five spots after the loss to the Trojans. Kansas moves up three spots to 19. The Arizona Wildcats are number 20, up a spot. Iowa moves from 25 to 21, four spots up. Louisville was not ranked last week. Georgia Tech was not ranked last week. They are 22 and 23. The NC State Wolfpack stay in their position at 24 and rounding out the top 25. The second highest ranked 0-1 team on the docket, the Clemson Tigers, are at number 25 in this week's AP Top 25 poll. They drop 11 spots after their loss to UGA. So that's where it stands in week number two. Anything shock you out of that, Zoe?
Clemson still being in the top 25.
I mean, you're going to get some bonus points because you lost to Georgia, even if you got blown out. right? Like there's two 0-1 teams on the docket. Two teams with any losses
on
the docket.
I'm not cracking on Clemson. I know it sounds that way. Why are there any teams in the top 25 that are 0-1?
LSU's going to get...
Find a couple other teams to throw in there until these teams come back and win some and then move those guys.
Well, I would point this out. Here are the teams that are next in line. Tell me who you'd replace. Texas A&M, 0-1.
0-1.
Okay. Yeah. Boston College, they went to Florida State, but the team they beat is now 0-2.
Yeah, but still, Boston College won, right?
They did won.
They won, so why not put them in there?
I think that's honestly, it's as much a referendum on Florida State as it is on Boston College. No. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah, it's the first week of this or whatever, and just take teams that haven't won a game and leave them out for this week. They're probably going to right the ship and be back in next week, but leave them out this week. It just doesn't look right.
Top unranked teams, A&M, Boston College, Boise State, Iowa State, Memphis, Nebraska, SMU, Washington, Liberty, Wisconsin, Vanderbilt, Auburn, Tulane, Northern. I'll tell you what, I don't know that Auburn doesn't get a nod. I mean, granted, they beat Alabama A&M, but they put 73 up on them. I don't know that Auburn doesn't deserve the nod.
And still, they put a couple losing teams ahead of them. It doesn't make sense.
I don't disagree. The only thing that makes less sense than the week two rankings are the preseason rankings. Am I right, Florida State? Am I right? All right, there you go. And finally, item number three on the water cooler cheat sheet. Probably should have got to this yesterday. Didn't get a chance to, and also was working from home and chaos ensued. So I'll do it now. Yesterday, Bryce Young named one of the Carolina Panthers' six team captains for the 2023 campaign. Alongside BY, season-long captains will include wide receiver Adam Thielen, right tackle Taylor Moton, linebackers Brian Burns and Shaq Thompson, and punter and friend of the show, Johnny Hecker. When asked what that means to him, the 22-year-old said he's thankful for the process. He said, quote, "It is a real honor. It's something I definitely don't take lightly. It means a lot to me to be a captain, and I'm super grateful for my teammates for accepting me and allowing me to come in. This has been a great experience for me. It's a great locker room, a great coaching staff, and again, everyone just accepting me and allowing me to grow and us to be able to progress as a team. It's something that I really take a lot of pride in. It's a huge honor for me, and obviously there's a responsibility that comes with that as well, so I'm excited for that challenge, and I don't take that lightly." Of course, Bryce Young will get his first start as a captain this Sunday when the Carolina Panthers are down on the Big Easy at 1 p.m. to take on our New Orleans Saints. What? I didn't know if you were going to have any commentary.
Actually just turned it off. I didn't turn it back on. I turned my mic off. No, because there's this thing.
Oh, the break? Ooh.
Yeah, that counts. It counts. I did it. And you caught it. Good for you. I might have gotten away with one there, but I didn't.
I got that the side vision thing, the thing where I can see out to the side.
So you didn't hear me. You saw me. Okay.
All right. When we come back here in just a minute, I have got, and I mean this, maybe the funniest thing I've seen on the internet in a very long time. The Gators got stumped by the Miami Hurricanes. There was a Florida fan who posted a full wholesale meltdown on his Twitter feed from the parking lot of a Denny's. And y'all, when I tell you I was rolling laughing at this guy, sincerely I was. Lonzo and I go play a little game of hold up when we come back with the greatest meltdown from week one. That's next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. After the beatdown that was laid upon the Florida Gators by the Hurricanes of Miami, there was a gentleman on Twitter. He's a guy that goes by the name Josh Prey on Twitter. And my dude had a wholesale meltdown about his Gators of Florida. Now it's about 3 minutes. So Lonzo and I are going to break it up here with the little game that we call Hold Up. The game is very simple. We are going to play the audio, and as we go through, anytime that we would like to respond to something, give a thought about something, you just say, hold up. We pause the audio, and we roll on with it. So with that being said, here is Josh Prey after the Gators took a butt-whooping from the Miami Hurricanes. I'm not even going to tell you where he is because he's going to tell you out the gate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. That's fine.
I'm going to let you off the hook. We're playing a game that requires some quick thinking.
No. I messed up. I should be held accountable. Okay. All right. Denny's is good. I haven't been there in a while because there's nothing close to us except in like Spartanburg. But I love Denny's. So I don't get why he's so disparaging about Denny's.
I can explain this to you. All right. And I have to acknowledge that this is something that. And this isn't a bad thing, but this is something, Zoe, that because of your lifestyle, you can't understand. There is a massive difference between going to a Denny's to eat and sitting in a Denny's parking lot thinking about your choices that led you there. Okay? There's a difference.
Is it a safe parking lot?
No. Okay. If you are, and again, this is one of those things that like it's hard for me to explain because you got to be feeling a certain kind of way to pull into a Denny's and be sitting in the parking lot reflecting on your life's decisions, choices, and realities. It's fine to go, I'm going to go to Denny's and get an All-Star. I've gone to Denny's and gotten an All-Star. I've recently gone to Denny's and gotten an All-Star or a Grand Slam or whatever one is at the Denny's. I'm good with that. But if you have ever pulled into a Denny's parking lot, put your car in park, and then just slumped back in your seat because the choices that led you there were either not your own or were real bad, if you've never had to sit and reflect upon how in the hell did I get here, I don't know that you can understand.
All right, so now you make me want to drive to Denny's and just drive around and look at people sitting in their cars. Why is it specifically Denny's that caused people to reflect? Is it the sign?
It could be. The same could be said about the Waffle House. The same could be said about any 24-hour diner that has a reputation of being available to you at 3:15 in the morning, all right? I want you to take the mindset and say this game was played from midnight to 3 a.m. and it was 3. If I called you at 3 in the morning and said, Lonzo, I'm sitting here in a Waffle House parking lot thinking about my choices in life, you'd be like, oh.
I would say you shouldn't have put chili on it. That's what I would say.
Right, that's fair.
When you throw the chili on it, you go in a totally different direction.
All right, hold up. Can you feel the frustration from this guy? Because it's tangible. It's palpable to me. If you put your hand on your speaker in your car, you will feel something, and that's this man's pain. I will tell you, I don't think in sports, I don't think there is a worse feeling, great one, than being at a game and realizing that the away team has taken over your stadium. I don't know if you've ever had that experience before. I have. I'm a Saints fan. Not only were my team real bad for the overwhelming majority of my life, but we are also, I believe, now with the exemption of Vegas, the most traveled to NFL city. We bring in more away fans than any other stadium in America. Now, the Saints fans have long been known for doing a wonderful job of owning the majority of the seats in the Dome. But for years growing up, it was not uncommon to go to a Saints game, and by the end of the third quarter, when the visiting team, it didn't matter who it was up 42-0, to realize they own the stadium now. It stinks. That's the greatest metaphor I've ever heard. That's the greatest metaphor I've ever heard. Higher than Carmen Electra's ass in the 90s.
No. I remember Carmen Electra vividly, because everyone does, but I'm just trying to remember why her butt was higher. Because
she had them legs, and she wore them like 12-inch stilettos when she was on MTV.
Okay, all right, so this is probably a shorter guy. Okay.
Okay, I felt that. I felt that in my soul.
That got me again.
Felt that in my soul.
So I've just lost the entire week. I don't care. I don't drink, but I realize there are certain places where you see people at the bar at those restaurants. It is pretty pathetic. There, Applebee's. There's just a couple places you go in and you know they're regulars because the bartender calls them by name and. By the way, I didn't know Denny's had a bar.
It's all right. So it's not a bar like you go in and get drinks. It means bar like literally a long road.
So like the breakfast bar.
It's like a bar, but it's the bar at a Denny's is for people who are by themselves at a Denny's. Right. And Denny's is one of those places that like you can go by yourself and it's like it's fine. But like Denny's is a place you go with people. Right. You go with the people you were out drinking with, or you go with your family after church on a Sunday or whatever you're going to do. If you're in a Denny's at the breakfast bar by yourself in the daytime. Yeah. Some questionable decisions got made.
OK. OK. Hold up.
I'll fix you now. Tootsie's is a strip club in Miami.
OK. All right.
All right. Hold up. He's kind of right about that. I'm going to say this, Miami, I can't stand the Miami Hurricanes. I can't stand their fans. I can't stand the program. I can't stand nothing about a Miami Hurricane, but I'm going to tell you right now, the Miami Lady fans are, The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Robin, the great one, Lonzo with you, rolling through a Wednesday AM here on the show. I want to address something very quickly. It is this. Since the Clemson loss to Georgia, it has gotten to the point where I am getting a little bit frustrated. And I'm getting frustrated with I'm going to use the word criticism, and I think that's probably the right word. But the criticism of Clemson and Dabo Swinney, and I'll tell you why. And it's a weird thing because it's going to sound like a defense out front and then turn around and sound like I'm on the offensive. And that is because that's exactly what's happening. That's why. I have listened to, I don't know how many college football radio shows and watched, I don't know how many college football television shows and reviews and recaps from week one. And it's the same take on every show. Oh, this is a result of Dabo not working the transfer portal. This is a result of Dabo Swinney not adapting to modern-day college football. And I do want to be very clear. That's absolutely a part of it, okay? That's absolutely a part of it. Is it the only part of it? No, it's not the only part of it. But it is absolutely a part of it, and anyone who says anything to the contrary is just incorrect. It is a lack of addressing a lack of depth via the portal. It is a lack of filling one-year needs via the portal. And these are things that I don't think that you can get away without doing in modern era college football. But that's not the only thing, right? Like, there's more to it that has to be pointed out. There's more to it that has to be talked about. And this is where the switch goes from sounding like I'm on the defense to sounding like I'm on the offense. And the reason is, again, that's because I am. I think saying those things are fine. Yes. I think Dabo is going to have to get over the loyalty thing. They made an effort during the broadcast of Clemson and Georgia this past Saturday afternoon. They made an effort of building a whole graphic to point out that since the transfer portal opened, Clemson has zero starts made by transfers in. Not a one. Since the beginning of the portal era, Clemson has had zero starts made by transfers in. I think it is fair to say, to point out, that the philosophy is not working. Now, let me go back on the defensive for a minute here. I do want to point out that while it was a butt-whooping of a loss, it certainly was, I also want to point out that the overwhelming majority of teams that that Georgia is going to play during this season are going to take butt whoopings from Georgia, because Georgia is, and I've done the research on this, really good at football. Kirby Smart's done a real good job, all right? And in fact, some teams are probably going to catch it worse than Clemson did, because you'll remember Georgia came into this game without their top two running backs, Roderick Robertson and Travis Etienne. So they're going to be even better on the run than they were. I feel awful for Tennessee Tech this weekend. They're going to lose by 70+. They're going to get mauled and manhandled. Georgia might be running their backups for XP by the second half of this game. I think Kentucky is going to catch a similar beatdown to the one that Georgia took. I think Mississippi State is going to take a beatdown similar to the one Clemson took. I think Florida might catch a worse beatdown because Georgia probably won't, pardon the expression, call off the dogs when they play Florida. Poor UMass at the end of the year. UMass is their warm-up game before rivalry weekend against Georgia Tech. And I think, frankly, as good as I think Tech is this year, I don't even think Georgia Tech, which might have the best offensive and defensive lines in the ACC this year. No, that's not a joke. I tried to tell you that before the season started. They're probably going to take a similar whooping, all right? Most teams that play Georgia are going to be beat like or worse than Clemson got beat. That's why I said going into this game. The question mark was not, will Clemson win? The answer is no, they're not going to. The question mark is, will they compete? Will they be competent? Will they be confident in the way that they compete? And the answer was, no, they weren't. No, they weren't, and no, they didn't. But to say that that is exclusively because Clemson did not compete in the portal, that's the problem. And for the record, this is more a problem with the media than it is with Clemson. It's a media problem that it's gotten to be effectively a lazy take at this point to go, oh, well, if Dabo just used the portal, I got to tell you right now, would it matter? Would it help? Yeah, no, I definitely think it would. Would it have mattered in this game? I don't know. Because the criticisms that I have about this game run a hell of a lot deeper than just get a transfer guy in. Now, there are some spots I think that would be an immediate help. Here, let's play the Rob Brown Show Home Edition. After what we saw out of Cam Ward down at Miami, a transfer in, didn't even have a full offseason with his team. After what we saw out of Cam Ward down in Miami, quick question, Zoe. Take off the hater hat and put on just your as objective as possible football analyst hat. Would Clemson have been better with Cam Ward at quarterback in this game?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
although I will say, Cam is thriving in an offense that works for him. we don't know that he doesn't come into Clemson and have to play this offense. So I think the question is, can that quarterback or any other really good quarterback come in and play the Clemson way offense and make it a winning offense?
And there you have it. Lonzo, unsurprisingly, because he does all the time, but Lonzo, unsurprisingly, just made a point that I have heard few to no big-time college football talking heads make. It is, if you go back the last 2 weeks leading up to this game, there was something that I said, a quote that we got from Dabo a year and a half ago during the 2023 Clemson open house down in Pickens County, that kind of stuck with me and has stuck with me since that point in time. We were talking with Dabo Swinney at that open house. It was an open media session. Mark Ryan and I were down there that day. Garrett Riley was making his first big rounds with the local media since he had been hired as the offensive coordinator for Clemson. And Dabo Swinney said, "We did not hire Garrett Riley to Clemson to run the Garrett Riley offense. We hired Garrett Riley for Garrett Riley to run the Clemson offense." It feels stale. It feels stale. It feels predictable. It feels kind of boring. It feels to me, great one, and this is my primary takeaway slash criticism slash concern. It feels to me that for a very long time, this offense worked, but it worked because you had Deshaun and Trevor and Taj and Kelly and this string of good quarterbacks, two great quarterbacks, two hell, maybe generational quarterbacks that came through Clemson. And it feels like when you have generational quarterbacks, the offense worked. And when you don't have a generational quarterback, it doesn't. And that, does that not kind of feel not just correct, but like the biggest problem right now? It feels like you have a somewhat bland, somewhat boring, predictable offense that works great when you have generational quarterbacks. And we've been spending so much time talking about the quarterback. Let's also point out they also had some pretty damn good wide receivers coming through that program for a hot minute there.
And pretty good running backs
also. Pretty good running backs too.
I know you think Moffa's the guy, but back when they had those generational quarterbacks and great receivers, they also had a really good running game.
I don't disagree.
By the way, Clemson's defense is still good.
It is. Which is why, by the way, Georgia didn't pull away until late third quarter. Right? They kept you in that game until late third quarter, until they were just out of gas because Clemson had short possessions. The defense was being caught. They were the 2023 Carolina Panthers. That defense looked real good until they were just out of steam because they got asked to do so much for such a long period of time. That's kind of how I felt about that game. So I do think that there are still great running backs. I think Will Shipley was very good. I think Phil Moffa's a guy, but much like Bryce Young in Carolina, I think because they are being asked to do so much in so many high-pressure situations, at the end of the day, Georgia was able to put extra guys in the box. And don't be shocked if Kentucky does the same thing from defensive play number one this Saturday. Just stack extra dudes in the box. Why? Because we're not afraid of anything outside of 7, 8, 9, 10 yards. We're just not. So to me, there's a couple of problems. Number one, the offense, again, predictable, bland, vanilla. It's the same offense it's been for years. There's very little in the way of tinkering, toying, changing, adapting. There's very little in the way of evolving that offense. It's just, there's nothing that makes you go, oh, what a wrinkle, right? And as a dude who's been there before, the word wrinkle carries a lot of weight when it comes to coaches. You got to put a wrinkle in the offense. I'm not saying you got to dramatically change it. I'm not saying you got to come out and all of a sudden next week Clemson's running a 5-wide shotgun air raid offense or a double wing I formation power and veer option offense. I'm saying run your offense, but start putting wrinkles, changes, differences in there that make defenses go, oh, we haven't seen that before. We better play more honestly, because right now they're not. And then you talk about development. The entire offseason, we spent asking the question, will Cade look different? Will he look better? Will he look developed? Now, let's put it in the context of He was playing a real damn good defense. Georgia's defense is going to be one of the best in the country. They have and have had for a number of years now one of the best defensive lines annually in football. No quarterback is going to have an easy day when they take on the Georgia Bulldogs. I want to put it in that context. But my question mark is this. Even knowing that it was in the face of that Georgia defense, one of the best in the game, a defensive line specifically, that will be one of the top 3, 4, 5 defensive lines in football this year. Here's my question. Did Cade look different than he did last year? Was there anything? I will ask the most homerific of you Clemson fans listening right now. And I know you're not because I know you're listening to somebody else, and that's okay. But those of you that are, I'll ask the most homerific of you. Was there anything in this game that you looked at and went, there's Cade, there's that 5-star, there's the next guy? Because I got to tell you, I didn't. I know I've kind of hammered and ridden the dead horse that is that opening play from scrimmage where he hit Phil Moffitt in the cleats on what would have been a first down. I'm not saying Phil would have scored. I don't think he would have because the defensive backs for Georgia are quick. But Phil Moffitt catches that football. He's got 10, 12 yards. You put a punch to the throat on the opening play by picking up a one snap, one throw first down and moving, if not into, very close to Georgia territory right out of the gate, and there's a different vibe. Now Georgia's on their heels from snap one. Instead, Cade cleated Phil Moffa, and you end up with 2nd and 10, and now you're playing behind the sticks a little bit. That's a problem. Was there anything at all, anything in this game at all, that you look and went, Cade's developed, Cade's better than last year? Because my answer is, Lonzo, not a thing.
I hate to say this. I think he looked worse.
I mean,
But Let's revisit this like 4 games from now.
And it's fair. It is fair to say I'll make my determination after the next 2 weeks. It is fair to say I will make my determination after App State comes to the house. Because that's not a laydown football team. They're going to fight. They won another Michigan upset. And while coming into Clemson, I don't know how it compares to going into the Big House and beating Michigan, but it would absolutely be one App State would hang on for years.
Well, Michigan, if I recall, was ranked really high. So at least from that standpoint,
sure. It would be an AP top 25 win, though. On the road, in a big-time stadium. That would be big. I'll tell you when I'll tell you. Week 5, after the NC State game. Because NC State, even though they didn't look great in week 1, NC State's defense is a bulldog offense, or defense, too. They're going to attack you right out of the gate. So that's when I think we'll be able to know. But what I saw in week 1... nothing I loved. Texter said, the first play of the game, I went, yep, that's Cade. Yeah, same thing. Same thing. Texter said, something did change. His hair was a little longer. It was. And he's got great lettuce, by the way. He's got a great vibe.
And they didn't go to his strength that much. He didn't hand off as much as he used to.
Texter said, you guys just nailed everything about Clemson, and I've been listening to sports shows the past 3 days with dumbasses trying to explain it. You guys just nailed it. The offensive strategy has to change. John Dog says, Clemson just ran into a juggernaut. They'll be okay. And Texter said, hopefully the rest of Clemson's season doesn't end up like the 23 Panthers as well. Texter said, don't put Kelly Bryant in with those quarterbacks. I put Kelly Bryant more with those quarterbacks than I do Cade Klubnick.
You know, it's always bothered me when you put Kelly Bryant in there, but he's better than the last two guys probably.
Yeah, and so, that's kind of what I learned.
So, I mean, yeah, the more you say it, the more I'm like, yeah, okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Kelly Bryant of Sports Flash is Lonzo.
I can't remember to turn my mic on. That's proof. In college football, the new AP poll has dropped Georgia. Remains at number 1, followed by Ohio State, Texas, Alabama, and Notre Dame to round out the top 5. Ole Miss is at 6, followed by Oregon, Penn State, Missouri, and Michigan. Clemson falls to 25 after the big loss to Georgia. 9 of the top 10 teams are in the Big Ten or the SEC. The other is independent Notre Dame. Yesterday, the Atlanta Braves started a 3-game set against the Rockies with a 3-0 win at home. Chris Sale surpassed his 200 strikeout on the season in a 9K, 7-inning shutout performance, earning his 16th win of the year. Game 2 is tonight at 7:20 with Charlie Morton on the mound. Make sure you tune in this Saturday at 4:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Charleston Southern Buccaneers. It's Furman versus Charleston Southern right here on your home for Paladins football. The Fan, Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.